Wherever cancer is, Hancock Health will fight. In any part of you and in all corners of East Central Indiana. From Indianapolis to Greenfield to Knightstown and beyond. From hospital rooms to family rooms, we fight. With technology and medicine. With care backed by the wisdom of Mayo Clinic. For you, for your family, and for your future. We fight cancer here. HancockHealth.org/cancer.
93 WIBC, it is the Kendall and Casey Show. I'm Rob. Casey's here. Let's get up to date on what's going on with Indiana politics and government. And to do that, as we do each week, we go to one of the best in the business. You know her from IndianaCapitalChronicle.com, the great Nikki Kelly. All right, Nikki Kelly, I saw that they are estimating now $40 million, 40 M-I-L-L-I-O-N dollars will be spent in this governor's race. That seems like a colossal amount of money for many people to be disappointed. What say you?
It is a colossal amount of money, that's for sure. They've spent $20 million already this year just in the first quarter. They spent about $15 million last year, and they easily have $5 million in the bank. So I doubt they're going to be sitting on money at the end. So that would put it as the most expensive race ever.
Are you surprised at how relatively little good it's done for many of the people? Like, if you believe the polling, the one Abdul did recently had Crouch, Doden, and Chambers kind of all at that 10 range, which means Crouch really hasn't moved. Doden and Chambers have gone up a little bit, and Braun has kind of gone down. It doesn't seem like the money has moved the needle all that much.
I mean, it's moving it some, but when you have so many candidates, as the undecideds fall, if they're splitting it, then it's like the where each candidate is isn't changing. You know, Braun drops a tad, but is still way in the lead. And then the undecideds kind of split along the mini candidates and they go up a little. But so we're just closing the gap a little, but not enough to, you know, threaten Braun.
Is that part of the issue, is that like Crouch, Doden, Chambers, they're too much alike? So the anti-Braun vote kind of just gets divided up?
Absolutely. I would say that's my biggest surprise of this whole race, is that I'm shocked that at least one or two of these people did not drop out. They didn't look at the calculus and say, okay, if we don't want Braun and we want a different kind of leader, then I need to drop out and coalesce behind someone else's 10%, you know, and try to put them together. And then no one did that. I assumed at least two to three would do it eventually, and no one has.
Okay, so you guys are reporting that Suzanne Crouch has the most money left at this point. How critical is that with just 3 weeks left that there's money on hand?
I mean, money on hand is important, of course, but she has also spent the least coming into it. So, you know, she has a lot to spend, but she spent the least overall. The Braun campaign pushed back pretty quickly saying, hey, he only has $1 million on hand, but they said they reserved $3.6 million in ad time on like March 31st. So basically they said, we've already spent ours, but we're set for the next, you know, 3-4 weeks.
Nikki Kelly from Indiana Capital Chronicle is our guest. Speaking of Suzanne Crouch, she's kind of playing the feud with Kyle Hupfer. I'm totally here for this. Are you surprised at how these two, who were kind of joined at the hip, and the fact that, you know, Hupfer was a big part of the Holcomb administration, state party chair, are you surprised at how he kind of got nasty with her over her income tax proposal and basically said she's full of it?
I'm not really surprised. I mean, I think they axed the tax proposal. I think she originally came out making it seem like it was an automatic thing. She then muted it a bit by saying, oh, it'll be gradual. It'll be with triggers and with protections and, you know, that kind of thing, which, by the way, we're already gradually reducing the income tax. So that's been happening for years. And so, and now the latest is that, you know, someone who was putting together some of her social media ads, you know, thought it would be great to say, oh, make this the last year you pay income tax, mm-hmm. which, of course, goes against what she's been saying about, you know, she's trying to have it a little both ways of, you know, trying to push an immediate income tax, but without saying, again, what's going to get sacrificed or how you make up for that money.
Are you surprised that Kyle Huffer called her out on that?
I'm not. I'm not at all. These are the final days. You got to start calling out these things. Huffer has been all in with Chambers from the very beginning. And if Crouch can call out Holcomb, then why can't Huffer call out her?
Do we know the reason that the Holcomb people never coalesced behind Crouch? I mean, she was a very, very loyal number two. That'll be my nice way of putting it, for 7 years. Do we know the reason? Is there a backstory there? Because that just seems a little unusual.
I agree. It is a little unusual. And I, other than the fact that they really liked the business approach that Chambers had, I don't think there was any sort of like weird falling out or anything like that. I just think they really think that, you know, Chambers has a better shot at leading the state and is more specifically would follow kind of Holcomb's brand than Suzanne.
Nikki Kelly, our guest from IndianaChronicle.com. All right, there was a big story over the weekend about an Indiana National Guard member who had allegedly been involved in an altercation with an illegal immigrant, and a shooting was involved in that. You guys had kind of reported the story initially. Is there an update on that?
We don't have any update yet. Details are pretty scant. I know that News Nation, who runs something called the Border Report, got a hold of a bulletin that said on Sunday an Indiana National Guard member shot at, it's not even clear if they hit the person, a migrant who was allegedly stabbing another migrant. And I don't even think they found the person. They ran back into Mexico. We're still waiting to learn pretty much anything about it. I think we were just kind of reaching out because Governor Holcomb and others made it sound like this was going to be a very, observe and report is their job. And so to see within a few days a shooting incident, I think we just wanted to reach out and find out kind of what's the protocol? Was everything followed? Those kinds of things.
Yeah, and at a cost of $7 million to the state of Indiana, do you think that this will change anything? Change their time being down there?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're waiting. The Indiana National Guard basically sent all queries to the Texas Military Department. Last I heard from them, because they said the investigation continues and they'll release more information later. So I think at the time, at least on Monday or Tuesday, Monday when this was breaking, I don't even think Border Patrol had been able to speak to anyone yet. So I just feel like we don't hardly know anything enough to make any assessment.
So do you think you'll find anything?
Hopefully. I mean, I was waiting a few days, and then we'll get back in touch with the Texas authorities and see. Obviously, the governor's in Brazil and now Mexico today, and so I'm sure he's trying to get a grasp on it, too.
So just to be clear, we don't even know if this actually happened, much less the details on it?
Well, I mean, we know that there was an incident with a shooting incident. Now, other than that, we don't know a lot. We don't know if the person was hit, if they were hurt. We know that two people were treated in the migrant camp from stab wounds, superficial, not anything life-threatening. So we're just trying to figure out the details after that. And, of course, the issue of chain of command and, I got to be honest, I guess they have the right or to respond with guns and enforcement. I thought it was more of observe and report and then let the Texas officials know. But then again, if you see someone being injured, I guess you have to react.
Nikki Kelly, find her over at IndianaCapitalChronicle.com. You're the best. Thank you.
You guys have a good day.
All right, Casey, when we come back,
yes,
it's everybody's favorite segment of the show. It's the segment where I have to say nice things about someone or something.
Mm-hmm.
And are you ready for this one?
Yeah.
When we come back.
What?
Let's go ahead and mark the date down here. It is, April the 17th of 2024. I'm going to say something very nice about Todd Rokita.
I can't wait to hear it.
You hear that, Todd?
Nice stuff coming up. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Tired of hearing Rob talk about all the bad news? Time to find your happy place. Turn that frown upside down. It's time for Sh*ing Rainbows with Rob.
It's the part of the show where I say something nice about someone or something.
Right. And this one might shock a lot of people.
Well, and it's weirdly enough become, I think, the most popular part of our program.
Yeah.
Because they know how uncomfortable it makes me to say something nice about anyone.
Isn't that odd that it makes you uncomfortable to be nice?
And it's a real character flaw, Casey.
It's something. It's part of your charm.
Absolutely. Okay, so we teased this, and you can go ahead and book it down. What is it? It's 10-19, April the 17th, 2024. We have to say something nice about Todd Rokita.
Yeah, I know. Shocking, right?
Now, we have said this for many, many years about Todd. Todd Rokita is the Attorney General for the state of Indiana. He was Secretary of State. He was a congressman. I think much of Todd Rokita's politics are very good.
Okay.
But they were, you thought I was going to say something negative, didn't I? You sure did, didn't you?
I was questioning.
You had the zap button ready.
I was ready.
It is some of Todd's public interactions and behaviors that I have called into question over the years. But
so
I think,
it's the execution that you question.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I think, you know, Todd's work as a Secretary of State was really good. I think the voter ID stuff that he championed was landmark and groundbreaking and was very, very good. I think as a congressman, he voted for things like to shut the government down when the spending was out of control. And I think a lot of those things have been great. But Todd Rokita did something recently, and it just came to my attention. And I'm going to have to leave it up to you to determine whether he actually did what I think he did.
Mm-hmm.
But I've talked to multiple people now who have seen this, and they have all said, yeah, I think he did this. I think Todd Rokita endorsed Micah Beckwith running for lieutenant governor.
I think he did as well.
So this was at a 5th Congressional District Forum, and I think it was at actually Life Church, and they had all the candidates that were running for that 5th Congressional District there and other people. Rokita was there and a variety of, I guess, other candidates. And this is now making its way around the internet. So why don't we play it,
okay,
and then you, as the voice of reason, can tell me whether I actually need to say something nice about Todd Rokita if indeed he endorsed Micah Beckwith for lieutenant governor.
Okay.
You can vote for me at convention. I ask for your support. I ask for your help. And you can vote for a Micah Beckwith as well. I think Micah's doing this the right way. You see, after 8 years of the current administration, and this is how I'm going to be nonpartisan or bipartisan, however you want to look at it. After 8 years of the current administration, conservatives in this state need what I call an insurance policy in that governor, lieutenant governor suite. And it's at the convention, you being a delegate, that we get to have that insurance policy to make sure we don't lose another 8 years.
Okay. So he said Micah's doing it the right way. He called Micah an insurance policy. But the one thing that he did say that caught my ear, he said, you can vote for me or you can vote for a Micah Beckwith.
Yeah, so I don't know, because I'm not going to say something nice about Rokita if he actually didn't do the thing. But I think he did the thing.
I think so.
I mean, if you got three or four things that are an endorsement and then one that might not be an endorsement, then I think three trumps one maybe.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Rokita endorsed Micah Beckwith.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
He was
good job, Rokita.
Right. Now, he was on friendly territory, so of course he's not going to say anything mean about Micah while he's in Micah's home.
Well, but that's way more than not saying something mean. He was saying, like,
he did it the right way.
Let's play it again.
Yeah, play it again.
Let's play it again.
You can vote for me at convention. I ask for your support. I ask for your help. And you can vote for a Micah Beckwith as well. I think Micah's doing this the right way.
Yeah.
You see, after 8 years of the current administration, and this is how I'm going to be nonpartisan or bipartisan, however you want to look at it. After 8 years of the current administration, conservatives in this state need what I call an insurance policy in that governor, lieutenant governor suite. And it's at the convention, you being a delegate, that we get to have that insurance policy to make sure we don't lose another 8 years.
Yeah.
I think that's an endorsement.
That was it when he was telling the delegates how to vote.
Yes.
Because he said he's an insurance policy, and when you go and vote, that's how we ensure that that policy comes
to
fruition.
That's really bold. We got to give Todd Rokita a round of applause for being bold, because he's kind of the first super high profile, certainly statewide office holder that has endorsed Micah Beckwith.
Yeah, so, and he said after 8 years, this is the change.
Maybe I need to soften my stance on Rokita a little bit here.
Does this mean we have to go give him another invitation to come on
the
show?
Maybe we should re-invite him to come on the show. Maybe we'll make the invitation a little kinder and gentler.
Mm-hmm.
And look, everything he said was correct, though. Whether it's technically an endorsement or it's a quasi-endorsement or whatever you want to call it, and hopefully somebody will ask him now, hey, was that an endorsement? He's right. Whoever wins that governor's race, you can't, I mean, whether it's Braun, Chambers, Doden, or Crouch, you can't trust that they're going to pick somebody that's going to be a fighter for you. You need an adversary in there. You need somebody who's going to be an advocate against bad thought when it comes up, against bad public policy. You need somebody whose whole premise of being elected, that's Rokita's said it. I mean, he captured it perfectly, is an insurance policy against that they're not beholden to, oh, I owe my job to this person. You want somebody who owes their job to you. In this case, you will be the delegates, and that's who they're going to fight for. I thought that was perfectly said. I thought that was Rokita was incredibly articulate about that.
So Micah Beckwith replied, and he said, thank you, Attorney General Todd Rokita, for your support. Like you, I will be a bold, unapologetic defender of conservative values. I'm looking forward to joining you at the State House and jumping into the battle protecting Hoosiers from big government overreach and woke leftist nonsense. Let's go! Okay, so Todd Rokita has $1.1 million in the bank for his reelection bid. And so far, there's nobody challenging him on the Republican side.
Well, I think there is one guy. I don't know if they formally filed the paperwork that said they're going to run. But look, here, we need a clarification. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what we should do. Maybe we'll let you and Kev walk it over, because I don't want to really
soften it a little.
Well, I don't want to, you know, what is the poison the well or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I do want to say, see, that we say this all the time. When these politicians do good things, we say nice things back about them.
Yeah.
And that was a really bold thing for Todd Rokita to endorse Micah Beckwith.
So what, I mean, what else is he going to do? He's not going to endorse Destiny Wells. Maybe he just doesn't endorse anybody.
Well, he'd be running against Destiny Wells.
Well, that's true. So he's, you know, he could, I guess, not say anything, but he did.
He did.
Chose to say something positive.
Sounded like an endorsement to me.
So we're calling it.
We're going to say that it was an endorsement until Todd Rokita says it's not an endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
And Casey, you and Kev, that is your job.
Mm-hmm.
Some point in the near future is to rewalk that invitation over. And maybe if we do it this time without the smart ass video.
Mm-hmm. He'll actually come on.
Further.
I don't know. I think it was the way you went in there.
I went in there.
Yeah, it was just the way you were like, you know what?
You were egging me on the entire time.
I would have never
done that of my own volition.
Oh, that is not even true. You were driving that train.
You're
and you
a
know
terrible
it.
Influence on me.
Hey, speaking of driving, I thought this might get your attention.
Oh.
You know, we talk a lot about flying and how crazy it is to get on a plane and
sure.
all the nonsense that happens on planes and in airports right now. According to a recent study, 73% of Americans prefer traveling by car for vacations.
What? See, what's the number?
73%.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So
and
people have common sense.
And it's for all of the reasons that we state, that it's because they can listen to the music of their choosing.
Yeah.
They can get a break from, you know, take a bathroom break when they need to do it. And 25% of people choose to drive when they go on vacation just for the feeling of driving.
Yeah.
They want to be in control. control themselves and not beholden to somebody else.
And most importantly, when that check engine light comes on, mm-hmm. there's likely a nearest applicable exit that you can pull over to. You can examine the car yourself. You can call AAA. The point is, you don't have to land a plane.
Half of people like to see the landscape as the as it changes as they're driving as well. Another driving force for driving rather than flying. Okay, we've got some voicemails coming up. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
It's time to hear from you. Kendall and Casey present Voicemails, brought to you by QC Kinetics for non-surgical regenerative medicine treatments at 317-559-PAIN.
The phone number 317-684-8444. It is time to hear from you. Questions, comments, smart remarks, and a few people complaining today.
Great.
I'm just going to put it right out there that there are some people complaining about their government.
I thought they were complaining about us.
No, they came to the right place if they want to complain about their government. So we start off yesterday. We were talking about the effects or the non-effects that the solar eclipse had on many communities.
Yeah.
How they were expecting many more visitors than actually came, and it did actually hurt some businesses.
State Affairs had a big piece on this about Franklin. Mm-hmm. They specifically focused on Franklin about how these mom and pop merchants bought all this food and extra stuff based on what the government told them was going to happen and these emergency declarations. And then those numbers never materialized. And not only did those numbers not materialize, but many, you know, townies, for lack of a better word, just stayed home because they were convinced their community was going to be
overrun.
So they didn't want any part. So not only did they not get the excess business, they didn't even get the regular local business they otherwise might have gotten.
Here's a phone call about that.
Some good comments from Captain Chronicle about Franklin, Indiana. That is a really nice town down there. We've been down there for many activities. And we were down there the Saturday before the eclipse, and they were all ready. They had cordoned off parking spots. They had everything just absolutely ready for obviously what didn't work. So I do feel sorry for shopkeepers down there, especially the mom and pops, and there's a lot of them down there. So good report on that. My question comes up is, what about the state parks? They had all men and ladies on deck, and they were all prepared for it. Did they ever get the crowds they anticipated? And what about the inns like the Abe Martin Lodge? Hmm. Were they prepared for lots of people to eat there and they didn't come?
Yeah.
Folks, that's out of your tax money to support the state park system in this state. And I just wonder if they did take a bath line.
Yeah. Well,
it's another example. But here's the point. There's another example of how Holcomb never gets held accountable for anything. Holcomb did this. Holcomb created this panic and fear and mass hysteria with his stupid emergency declaration. We wouldn't have been thinking a thing about it if he hadn't come out and done that. Do you remember like kind of how that progressed? Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, everybody's like, oh, the eclipse will probably get some people coming in. It'll probably, you know, it'll probably be enhanced, be maybe a little boom for tourism. And then he does that emergency declaration of his own volition. No one held a gun to his head and forced him to do it. And then everybody goes into this mass illogical panic about what's going to happen. And then everybody responds based on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then
we're going to get flooded with all these people. We better be prepared.
It was the exact COVID mm-hmm. thing all over again. Mm-hmm. And as usual, he was wrong.
Taking executive action.
You're right. It's not like he went through the legislature.
Right.
He took executive, very, very astute, Casey. He took executive action. And then he skadoodles out of town to go to a basketball game. And all of these people get left cleaning up his mm-hmm. mess. And mm-hmm. I just, you know what's crazy is somebody on Twitter yesterday, because I was on Ethan's show on Saturday, and we were talking about the Jamie Knoll stuff
mm-hmm.
and how Indianapolis media refuses to ask Holcomb
right.
what he knew about Jamie Knoll and when. And there was some person on Twitter that started like going off on me about I'm a this and I'm a that. And I said, wait a second. All I want to know is what the governor knew and when about one of his closest personal friends and political allies who was allegedly potentially living millions of dollars above his means. And I'm the bad guy for this. It is amazing. No one will hold Holcomb accountable for anything in this state. The Malik Muhammad stuff, mm-hmm. the mask mandates, the lockdowns, this,
right.
the Jamie Knoll stuff, nothing. No one ever asked this guy any question of relevance or holds his feet to the fire, and it blows my mind.
Okay, so yesterday you were talking about how you got some mail from your state senators and how it bothered you because you felt that they were both lying to you based on their previous history. And
Real quick, let me clarify for you.
Yeah.
So both of these underachievers who are running for state senate, and by the way, I say this, I have no vested interest in this race. I'm leaving it blank. I dislike both of these people. I'm going to name them because I'm out of the operation. Ann Englehart and Brett Clark, two total zeros, running to replace another total zero, John Crane. Yes, they have both, at multiple times, supported big tax increases in their positions as elected officials. Clark is the sheriff, and Ann Englehart is an Avon school board member. And then they have the audacity. I was going to sit it out. I was just going to, because either one of them is going to underrepresent and underwhelm me. I know when they get in there. But I was going to sit it out. But then they start sending this mail to my house. And if you're going to shove garbage in my face, the only recourse I have is to come on this little radio show that either nobody's listening to or tens of thousands of people are listening to and tell people what garbage you people actually were as elected officials. And they sent this mail to my house talking about how they're gonna lower taxes, Casey. That's a lie. You both supported massive tax increases in your previous elected positions.
Okay, well, here's a comment about that. And this person has an opinion.
On your mail issue there, I wish they'd just stop wasting the money. I don't even look at them. They go straight in the trash. I sort the mail. All that crap goes in one pile. I don't even glance through it to see who's on the dang things. Now, as far as the 5th Congressional District elections, I'm so tired of this thing, I'm losing motivation to even show up at this point. I mean, who am I going to vote for? The devil I know? The crazy woman who just wants to send my money back to the motherland of Ukraine? That's the only reason why she's running, is because the Ukraine funding didn't get approved, and she wants to make sure her fingerprint's on there when it does so she can claim victory. Or, you know, then there's China Chuck. Is he really in bed with China? Is he really against 2A? You know, am I going to vote for the devil I know or the devil I don't know? Well, at this point, I think I'm going to vote for Ragu. I don't know a dang thing about him either. I can't find much information on him. But you know what? I am just sick and tired of this entire thing. Year after year, it's nonstop election. We never get a break anymore. I'm just over it.
Interesting that he said that he can't find anything on Raju. Like, this is somebody who's actually trying to be informed and seek out answers.
Well, we told you that about the Raju thing. The crazy thing is people are going to vote for Raju based on that ad, knowing nothing about him, which is actually a brilliant marketing strategy. Look, they do this, though. The politicians do this because we don't hold them accountable to be better. We don't hold them accountable to be better. In the case of the two people running for state senate in Hendricks County, they know enough people are going to see lower taxes, and they're going to go, oh, so-and-so supports lowering taxes. How many people are going to do the research that I actually did to look into how the previous sheriff voiced support for local option income tax or local income tax increases? Who's going to do that other than me? Nobody's going to do that. So if I don't exist, he totally gets away with it. People were fighting with me about this on social media, and I'm like, I didn't make up his record as sheriff.
Right.
I didn't force him to do that. How many people are going to look into that this woman, the other woman running, was on the school board?
Supporting referendums.
Yeah. So they get away with it. We are ultimately to blame because we don't hold these people accountable. Both of these people should be totally rejected, but one of them's going to win.
Speaking of Raju, here is somebody who is supporting him.
Hey, I love Raju. I'm voting for him. All you other haters out there, there's nobody in this campaign that has done more than Raju for our country as we stand right now. I love Raju. I love Raju for Congress.
He's not.
No one's done more.
No one's done more. He's not citing any examples. There's no history he can speak of.
There's some Afghanistan veteran.
Blanket statement.
There's some person who fought valiantly in Desert Storm, but no one, Casey.
No one's done more.
You know, that Sully that landed the plane, you know, nobody's done more. More than Raju.
Okay, so was it Monday was tax day, and we had talked about how one of the things that the IRS was trying to improve was their on hold time.
Yeah.
How they were getting it down from 28 minutes to 3 minutes. And here's somebody with a little experience in dealing with the IRS.
Yes, this is my name is Ed, longtime listener, first time caller. Called the IRS yesterday and their new 60,000 new employees. There was supposed to be only 3 minutes of hold instead of 28 regular minutes. And I was on hold for 55 minutes.
Oh.
Just for the lady to tell me there's nothing she could do and for me to mail in my return. Thanks. Have a good day.
Well, so they're reporting, I guess, a little inconsistent with
real
life experience.
If that guy was 55, maybe somebody got 30 seconds of hold time.
Yeah, maybe.
It all evens out in the end.
Okay, let's go to our last call, Kevin. And this is going back a few weeks. Our boss, Dion,
yeah.
The head guy, the big boss.
Head honcho.
Right. He brought in various donuts, wanted us to do a little taste testing, and it was right around debate time. So we were debating on which was the best donut. Did we agree on our donut choices?
I think you were very passionate about it, and I was like, thank you for the free donuts.
You were like, thanks for the sugar. Here is a phone call about donuts.
Hey, guys. A few weeks ago, you were talking about the best donut shops around. For the last 20 years, every time I go out to Avon to deliver, I've been seeing this Carl's Donuts. Went in there today for the first time. Oh, my gosh. They've got five times the size, the amount of donuts that any other donut shop place I've ever been into. Their donuts are double the size of other donut shops. I had their chocolate cream-filled donut. It was better than having sex.
Oh.
It was amazing. I cannot oversell this place. It looks like a little hole in the wall. It's across the street from the Chick-fil-A there on 36. Mm-hmm. Rob, next time you're out and about on a Saturday, you don't live too far away from there, stop by and try it. You will not be sorry. And here's the kicker. At night, it's a pizza joint. I mean, you can go there for breakfast, have a donut, go back at night, have a pizza.
Have a pizza.
I
want to try the place now.
All I want to say to this gentleman is I don't know what sort of sex you're having. And I know that donut may be phenomenal, but you may want to reassess your life position, buddy.
Hammer's going to join us next. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Good morning. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC, and Hammer is in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning. And as I hear a whole lot of love in the background, that could be the theme song for what's happening with Caitlin Clark in the city of Indianapolis right now.
Yeah.
Whole lot of love for this franchise-changing athlete coming to the Indiana Fever. Again, as we said yesterday, not only is the pressure on her to kind of save the franchise, but the league itself, right? She could be the biggest star in the league, and this is still a 22, 23-year-old girl coming out of college. It's a lot of pressure, but all the accolades are coming in. On draft night, Governor Holcomb, Rob, you pointed this out, gave her the Malik Muhammad treatment.
That's right. He gave her the Malik Muhammad.
Rolled out the red carpet.
Key to the city.
You know, key to the city. Everything was great. Now, Joe Hogsett, the mayor of Indianapolis, put out some messages on social media. So I was trying to get Boss Hogsett to come on the show and officially welcome Caitlin Clark. Mm-hmm. And there's always an open invite for Boss Hogsett. He did not respond.
Yeah.
So what we did was we got the second best thing.
Oh. Yeah.
Here to officially welcome Caitlin Clark to Indianapolis is AI Joe Hogsett.
Caitlin, welcome to Indy. I hope you enjoy the city. I also hope you have a bulletproof vest and a Glock. I'm just kidding. We haven't had a mass shooting in one of our tourist areas in a good 2 or 3 weeks now. And to be fair, most of our downtown shootings or riots are mostly peaceful.
Mostly.
If you're looking for a place to live, I would avoid the canal area. It's a death trap. I would also avoid all of the east side. It's also a death trap.
True.
I would pretty much avoid all of downtown, too. Other than that, your options are unlimited. And as for places to kick back and unwind, you just let me know. Nobody knows more places to drink than I do. I know places where you have to have a special knock to get in, places where the booze they serve is so strong it makes your face turn really, 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 really red. So, in closing, welcome to Indy, Caitlin. In honor of your arrival, it's time for a sing-along.
It's a little sing-along here with AI Joe Hogsett.
I wasn't born for fixing potholes. I'm not made for paving these roads.
Nope.
I ain't cut out to climb high line poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
It's a welcome message for Caitlin Clark.
So good.
From AI.
I love when
Joe Hogsett.
I don't know how you do that, but when sometimes you'll make the S's long. I think that's my favorite part of the AI Hogsett.
Well, I'm trying to make it as realistic as possible.
It's very well done. Hey, what did you guys do caller roulette yesterday?
So we did a round of caller roulette. And the way this works in our show is people call up and Allison just gets their name.
Yeah.
We have no idea what they want to talk
sure.
about. We don't screen anything out. It's like the Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
Nige and I have no idea what's on the other end of the phone
roulette. Yeah.
Rob Kendall was taking some shrapnel yesterday.
Wait, what?
What happened?
Let's go to James. Welcome to the Hammer and Nigel show, James.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Awesome.
Okay. I want to talk about Rob Kendall. He comes across as really a... just a tough guy, but he doesn't have live callers like your show does.
Oh.
I think you guys, I think he's lost his man card to you guys just because you guys have the nerve to take live callers.
Yeah, they
and
do the voicemails.
The good old days when there used to be live callers like, hey, call in if you want to talk about XYZ topic. Rob doesn't do that. You know why? I think Rob is a little bit scared.
Well, oh. Shots fired at the representative of Brownsburg there. Matt, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel show. Matt, what do you want to talk about?
And I want to agree with your other caller. Rob's from Brownsburg, but he needs to take some live calls every once in a while. Man up like you guys.
Wow.
You were taking shrapnel
challenge.
Yesterday.
Well, we've spelled out why we don't take live callers. This airtime is so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, look, you're better people than we are. We just can't risk that to,
right.
you know, just totally, you know, untrained professionals.
I think we've proven from the voicemails that our callers can be a little testy sometimes.
Yeah, we put people who hate me on the show all the time. You send a voicemail that hates me, it usually goes right to the front of the
and
line.
And you should hear some of these calls that get through on caller roulette.
Yeah.
Because again, we don't screen them out.
Mm-hmm.
Like last week, we had Crazy Larry got through and he was talking about how Martin Luther King Jr. was actually a terrorist, and we had somebody that was just grunting, yelling about Purdue. Like, it was wild, man, but it is what it is. You never know what you're going to get.
What's coming up this afternoon?
The Tonus, Tony Kennett, will join us, and we will have a lot of laughs. Again, nobody has more fun on the radio in the afternoon than we do. Tell your friends.
Thanks, Hammer. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.